hear these words from Deuteronomy chapter 32, the 39th verse. Now see that I, even I, am He, and there is no God besides me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. That can't possibly be the same person, could it? And yes, it is. If you would see me in my grubbiest of grubbies with a straw hat on, right after I had hauled a bunch of black dirt and mulch and rock from my backyard, and then saw me walking down the street, you'd probably say something like, I bet he lives under a bridge somewhere in a cardboard box, and he probably eats roadkill stew out of some gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard, to quote an old song. But here I am. The same guy, spiffied up with a tie, showered and brushed my beard and everything. Same person. Or you see this ragtag group of musicians playing silly old rock songs, and you say, that couldn't possibly be my art professor or the chaplain at the college, could it? Same people, different aspects, different context, different looks. My neighbor sits in a courtroom wearing a robe, and sometimes he says, I hereby sentence you to 25 years in prison without the possibility of parole. But then he comes home and he's the most kind, gentle-natured, helpful neighbor you could ever imagine. Same guy. Same person, not inconsistent at all. That's who he is. And then we have our text. I kill, says God about himself, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Some people have been so troubled by those different aspects of God that they say, there must be two gods. There must be this Old Testament hateful fighting God, and there must be a different God in the New Testament. The comedian George Carlin used to make fun of what we're talking about right now. He talks about the training he had in grade school under nuns, and they would tell him, God loves you, George, but then he'd do something bad, and then they'd say, God is going to punish you for that, George. And he made a comedy routine out of the whole thing. How can this be? A God that kills and a God that heals. A God that wounds. A God that makes alive. But that's God. That's what he says about himself. There aren't two gods. Our text says that in these words. There is no God besides me. Same one. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, as he is. He does not change like shifting shadows, we hear in the book of James. So see him in action in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, proving what he says. Drowning Pharaoh's army, and also saying, comfort, comfort my people. Killing Canaanites, and yet saying, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow, perfect forgiveness. Or see the God of the New Testament, Jesus, our Savior. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Chorazin. And right after that, saying, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God kills. God makes alive. God wounds. God heals. And now that's your God. That's your God. How do you deal with that? God is just, and you know what goes on inside you. You know what you deserve for your greed and lust and jealousy and uncontentment and all of that. You know that God demands perfection. He's just. And yet he says of himself that he is love, compassionate, and merciful. How in the world can you and I justify, reconcile those two things? Well, George Carlin couldn't. Many people can't. And there's only one way to reconcile the two, and that is to stand below the cross. Because there is a God of justice taking out on one all the sins of the world, counting him the worst criminal of all time, with the guilt of the world upon himself, so that you and I can be free of our guilt, so that God can be a loving, forgiving God toward us. Someone said that God had a problem. How is he himself going to reconcile the fact that he is just and loving, compassionate, forgiving God? Well, there was the answer. The only answer to reconcile the two. God's justice was satisfied in our Savior and brother Jesus Christ. And now here we are, dear children of God. The fact that God is a killer and a wounder can also be gospel. Makes alive and heals. Well, that's obviously gospel good news for us. But God kills and God wounds. He kills our old nature in us through his powerful word, so that our new nature can come forth and serve him in righteousness and purity. He wounds the enemies of his people, controlling all things in his mighty power as warrior, so that all things can eventually turn out for our good, and that he will be the mighty victor at the end of all times. And as the stress is in our week's readings this week, he is the killer of death itself. He puts death to death by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and the promise that we too will rise like him. So, same God. Wonderfully the same God. And if you get worried that his justice is still going to be meted out on you, and that his justice outweighs his love and compassion, know simply that Mount Calvary, theologically, is always much higher than Mount Sinai, where the law was given. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, says our God, says his word, and that belongs to you. In keeping with those thoughts, let us arise and pray. We praise you, dear Father in heaven, that you have made us alive through your Son, Jesus, and that you continue to heal our wounds of all kinds. We know that we do not need to fear your just judgment, because your Son, our Savior, has satisfied your justice on the cross and has freed us from eternal death by his own death and rising. Now lead us to fear death of our bodies as little as we fear going to bed at night and sleeping for a time and waking up refreshed in the morning. Through Jesus, the victory in our battles and our brother and friend today and always. Amen.